Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Growing in Grace at growingingrace.org. I'm Joel Brzezinski with Mike Kapler. Thank you for coming along and listening in with us. Don't forget, wherever you're listening, it's helpful to us, and I think it's helpful to you too if you subscribe, follow, whatever it is on whatever app you're using. It just gives you most of the apps. Well, then we'll remind you when a new episode is posted, and then it'll just be ready when you are. So don't forget to do that. Cap, how you doing? My voice was a bit scratchy before we started this morning and dry. And you know, I told you that trick that I learned from, well, that Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant used to talk about, where they would...
Did you eat potato chips?
Well, they would eat potato chips. And the only thing I have is... I got them at Hy-Vee the other day on sale. They're Lay's Cajun Spice chips and jalapeno chips. And that did not do the trick. So you know what I used instead? Double-stuffed golden Oreos. I'm just kidding. That's because I can't picture that working.
I'm like, man, that's not believable.
It would sure taste good, but I don't know if that would help my dry throat. So raise your hands out there if you've ever done that. I'm just kidding, because we're going to springboard a little bit off of some things we said last week. We were talking about this whole idea of inviting the presence of the Holy Spirit when, in fact, He's already with us. God, He's always with us. He doesn't come and go. It's like if you're married, you're sitting there with your spouse, and she's sitting right there with you, and you just say, "Spouse, I invite you to come be with me." It's like she's already there. He's already there, whoever your spouse is. It's like somebody sitting next to you and you invite their presence. It's like, oh, okay. It's basically, it's kind of a formality that we don't need. It's like we're already there. We're in a loving relationship that's perpetual. It's ongoing all the time. And so I was thinking about this, and just the whole idea of, raising your hands to God. Again, like we were talking about last week, there's really nothing wrong with that. In fact, I think Paul even said raising holy hands. I can't remember what he said. It's a good thing, but I think the thing for us to remember is that it's more of a symbolic thing. Because if you, and I'm raising my hands and I'm looking up, as I'm doing that, it's more of a symbolic thing, acknowledging that God is the creator of the universe and everything in it, but all the while knowing that He indwells me. God is in me. He's never gone anywhere. And just relating to that story that I shared last week about the woman who she was praying with her eyes closed while she was driving and ran into a house, I would also say probably not necessarily a good idea to be driving and raise your hands off the steering wheel. Same thing might happen. You might be able to catch yourself sooner, though. I don't know.
Yeah, that's why you need one of those new smart cars that drives themselves if you're going to do that.
So only pray with your eyes closed and with your hands raised if you have a smart car.
We're going to have to get a new Bible. Yeah. Add some of this stuff in there.
Yeah, that's right. There's some stuff we could add, right?
Well, so yeah, I remember many years ago, someone was telling me this story about how they asked someone, "Are you coming to the special church service on Sunday night?" And they said, "No, but I'll be there in spirit." And she kind of said something like, "Well, I hope everybody doesn't say that, or we'll just have a bunch of spirits hanging around the place."
That's good.
And so I think I liked what we talked about last week. And with that in mind, You know, everybody is unique and different, and the Holy Spirit understands and works with that and respects that. And so, for example, when you mention about raising hands, I've been in churches over the years, you know, that were kind of conservative outwardly in nature. Nobody raised their hands. Mm-hmm. Everybody closed their eyes when they prayed. In some places, they might kneel when they come to a certain part of the service to pray about something. In other places, I've been to the other opposite extreme where I'm not saying they were swinging on chandeliers, Joel, because I don't think we had any. But, you know, everybody was raising their hands and shouting and in some cases. And, you know, maybe praying with their eyes open. I was in a church where they kind of coached people. They didn't make a big deal out of it, but they just kind of suggested, why don't you pray with your eyes open, especially if you're praying for somebody else. So you have all these different things, raising hands, not raising hands, open eyes, closing eyes, and shouting or humbly being quiet. And I think sometimes you go into some of these places, and if you don't do it the way that most people are doing it, they almost sort of give you the feeling like you're less of a Christian, or you're not fitting in properly, or you're not spiritual enough, or you're crazy, you know, like in the quiet places. If you raise your hands, people kind of look at you like, oh, they're one of those, right. You know, one of those Pentecostal types or something. And so you have all these different potential things outwardly that can take place. And if you don't abide by the norm of that particular building, then, you know, people sort of look at you. And why can't we just be ourselves? I mean, if you're not comfortable with raising your hands, it's okay.
Right.
And with anything else related to that. So I just think that sometimes just be yourself. Now, that's not to say that God won't take you in a different direction somewhere along the way. Maybe he will. I don't know. Maybe you'll receive it. I don't know. But let's just be ourselves and allow God. You know, toward the end of the last program, Joel, you were, and throughout the program really, but toward the end, you were making the point that God is always with you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? And so now what? Now that we know, we don't have to somehow try to pull God down into our presence, invite him into our presence, and move within our presence. I know why people like to do that stuff, as we talked about last week. But now that we understand that God isn't leaving, he is always with us by his Spirit, now what? What does that mean for us? I'll tell you one thing. And this came up recently on social media. God is not convicting you of your sin. The right. Spirit of God is not convicting you. As a believer in Christ, he is not convicting you of your sin. He convicts the world of sin because why? Jesus said, because they do not believe in me. But for the believer, and because he goes to the Father, Jesus, then the Spirit of God is there to convict you of righteousness, not your right doing or not right doing, but the righteousness of God that was gifted to us through belief in Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing, and the Spirit is there to remind you of that. Jesus never said that he would send the Spirit to convict believers in Christ of sin. He never said that. He said righteousness. He would convict them because he goes to the Father. He would convict us in him of righteousness, not a reminder of sin. Now, how is this possible, Joel? How is it possible for God to say that he would remember sins no more because of the sacrifice of Christ, which was needed just once for all? And Hebrews 10 tells us that the Spirit testifies to this, that God would remember sins no more. So if that's true, then why would God, when somebody fails, somebody stumbles, somebody sins, why would God show up and say, oh, Holy Spirit inside of you is now tapping you on your spiritual shoulder and saying, hey, that was sin. You know, I mean, why would he do that? In other words, what that does is he is giving you a consciousness of sins or sin. If that were true, when the beginning of Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, referring to the Jewish people who are under the law and a continual system of animal sacrifices and that blood which could not take away sins, they were constantly trapped under a sin consciousness. They couldn't be released from it under that system. Jesus came to deliver them, redeem them from that system and from the consciousness of sins. Now, as a new believer in Christ, somebody who's a new creation, somebody who is a partaker of the divine nature, a child of the living God, one who is righteous and declared holy because of what Jesus did on our behalf. Through an inheritance, we have received these wonderful things. We're identified now in this way as a child of God, a righteous person, a holy person, apart from what we do. Now, with that in mind, because we have this new nature, it's not difficult for us as one who is a child of God to recognize, because of a new heart that we have within, to recognize sin from what is not sin. You don't need the Holy Spirit there to tell you what's sinful and what is not. Somebody might say, well, we need to know the difference between good and evil. Well, that's what got Adam and Eve into trouble, as we talked about some weeks ago. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's not the tree we want to be eating from. I feel like I've been talking for a while. Why don't you jump in, Joel? Why, huh? How come you're just sitting there?
I was just waiting for you to invite me to talk. No, just kidding. But yeah.
Come into my presence.
Well, that's
all right. Well, the floor is yours.
Well, it's good because several things there, like with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And with, you know, Paul talking about the Jewish people being dead to the law, you know, people, just like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, people think that we need the law to teach us right from wrong. And Paul said that in order to bear fruit to God, he had to die to the law. So it's not even about knowing what's right and what's wrong as far as relating to God. And I really like what you were saying there about the Holy Spirit convicting us of righteousness. You know, he remembers our sins no more, but when we sin, he's going to remind us of them. He's going to convict us of them. That, you know, that just doesn't add up. And we have this new nature, like you were saying, and it's not just any old, we got a new nature. It's a righteous nature that's the righteousness of God, and he gifted it to us. And so it's permanent, and it's something that we can't break. We can't break this gift that he's given us. It's his very own righteousness that he gave us. And so we can be confident as we go about our daily lives that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is our true identity. And the Holy Spirit will remind us of that. I think the problem that people have with thinking that God has left me, God has gone somewhere, you know, they don't feel like God is with them. I think a lot of that comes from the teaching, the false teaching, that God is convicting them of sin, because we've all sinned. We've all done stuff to various degrees. And if any of us were to stand in front of God on the basis of our sins, then who would stand? The psalmist said, who would stand? None of us would be able to, but because it's on the basis of his righteousness that he's given to us as a gift, we all stand, and we stand freely and confidently. But the teaching that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, that leaves people thinking, I know that I've sinned, and so God has convicted me of it, and I need to do something about it, and you just don't feel like you can do anything about it, which is true. You can't, and you're not supposed to. You don't have to. Now, in our relationships with other people, yeah, sometimes, you know, that's a little bit different, mending relationships. But when we sin, we don't lose our relationship with God. We don't lose fellowship with God. That's a big one. People thinking they've lost fellowship with God because they've sinned. Again, the basis of our relationship with him is his very own righteousness that he's given to us as a gift. We received it by faith, not by anything that we did. And so I think generally this feeling of conviction of sins that people have, it's their own conviction that they brought upon themselves, and they think that it's God. It's their own consciousness of sins that's come from a wrong place, and they think that it's God, and they forget that God said, like you said, the Spirit testifies of these things, that God remembers our sins no more, that He has taken away our sins. And under the old sacrifices of animals, there was only a reminder of sins every year, but with the one sacrifice of Jesus, our sins were taken away, all of them, permanently, forever. So we can rest in that. I mean, truly rest in that, and remember that if we're feeling, quote, convicted of sins by God, if we think that's God, that's just simply a mindset that we need to rid ourselves of. We just change your mindset. Just remember that God said He would remember your sins no more. You don't have to walk around with this sense of guilt before God, with feelings of I've blown it, and God is against me, and I just don't think I'll ever get right, you know, right with Him again or back to Him, because He never left. It's all based on His oath that He made to Himself, His promise that He made to Himself. The blood of Jesus is so much bigger than any sin that you've ever committed. It's taking your sins away. And now I feel like I've been talking. Anything else that you want to wrap up with here, Cap?
That's good stuff.
Welcome
and
back.
I like how you hit on the fellowship thing, that sin will hinder our fellowship with God. I used to say that. I was wrong. Mm-hmm. Boy, did I used to say that. So we got to get away from that stuff. Sure, God wants to see us free from stuff that is going to hurt us and other people. But this fellowship between us and God, it's not like your church building fellowship. You ever gone to a church and then left it? People get mad.
Yeah,
I mean, you may never speak to each other again. Sometimes we confuse things in this world with the things of God and our fellowship with Him. You know, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. That's 1 John 4:15. Now, that doesn't sound to me like fellowship is going to wane or weaken because of our efforts in trying to maintain a relationship with God.
Right, yeah.
So that's an important thing, I think. And so all of that to say, God is there with you at all times. And you could be walking down the street, you might be out shopping, you might be doing whatever it is that you do throughout any given day. And then all of a sudden, and you're not necessarily in a meditative state, but all of a sudden something pops from inside. You might run into somebody who is going through a difficult time in their life. They might be going through a divorce. They might have a sick child, or you know, there could be any event that could take place. All of a sudden, God is bringing something up from within that says, here, I want you to do something. And that's God. He's there to lead. He's there to guide. He's there to remind you of His righteousness that abides in you. He's not there to remind you of sin, but He will lead you into all truth regarding the things of Jesus Christ. And certainly, if there are things out there that could cause you harm, He wants you to avoid those things. He can help guide you through that, but He's never there to condemn, to convict, to remind when it comes to the issue of sins, because as you said, Joel, we can't do anything about sin. Jesus, look, God hates sin. He hated it so much. He dealt with it through His Son once for all, period. End of story. He sat down after that.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.